Hi guys, good morning, afternoon, evening, wherever it is you are in the world. I hope you're having a good day or night, whenever it is you're listening to this. My name is Uzioma Paul, and you're welcome to Stories by Uzioma. So today I'm going to be starting a new series, graduate on grad school. I haven't decided on the name of this series. Maybe it's just going to be grad school series. Essentially, I'm going to be sharing some of the things that I learned along the way, and also with some of my favorite people, you know. So today, to start off, we will be having two amazing people, my friends from like UniLac days, which has been like, I don't know, 10, 11 years now. And we'll be sharing from UniLac to CMU what the experience was like. And we hope that somewhere along the line, you're able to learn one or two things. And if not, we hope that you at least enjoy the session. Okay, so brethren, we have two people here, Akintayo Jabba. I don't know why I keep saying that, Akintayo. And Dolapo Aisha Toye. So please, both of them are muted. Kindly go introduce yourself. Tell us about yourself. Dolapo, do you want to go first?
Yeah, that's fine. Thanks, Ozzy. My name is Aisha, and I recently completed my master's degree at CMU Africa, specializing in software development and applied machine learning. And it's actually a great honor to be here with you, Ozzy.
Let's be watching ourselves. It's okay.
That's it.
Akintayo, please introduce yourself.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Uzi, for having me. Hello, everyone. My name is Tayo. I'm a boy. I just finished my master's at CMU Africa as well. Yep. Yeah, that's it.
Okay. Oh, yeah. So you are very humble. It's okay. There's no problem about it at all. And you already know my name is Uzi, and I also just finished. So we'll dive right into it. So my first question would be, why did you choose to come to grad school? Why did you choose to get a master's? I know that both of you are really smart, and both of them were my seniors in school. Well, not seniors, but in the class, you know, in the class, you still have like seniors in the class. So both of them were like seniors in the class, really smart people, amazing job in Lagos, Nigeria. So why did you leave your job, your family, your businesses to come and study, study for a master's? Why? Tayo, maybe we start with you.
Wow. Okay. I don't really know about those great jobs that they had in Nigeria. I don't know about you people, but I really wasn't feeling it at the time I left. I wasn't feeling my job. I wanted to transition in terms of career paths. I was working as a software engineer, but right. About 2 years or 3 years before then, I had been looking to transition to data science and machine learning. But unfortunately, I didn't have the time to do that. I only had the weekends and it wasn't sufficient. So I decided that grad school would give me an avenue to actually take sufficient time to learn the ropes, mm-hmm. get good knowledge, and come out on the other side better for it, and hopefully kickstart a good career in that field. And so far, so good. Mm. Yep.
Amazing. Thank you too.
Donapo? Yeah, so I would say it's a bit similar to Jabra's, but not exactly, in the sense that right from my BSc, I already knew I wanted a master's, but I was one of those who was kind of clueless as to what I wanted to do next. Fine, I wanted a master's, I didn't know in what. And during my BSc, I was just transitioning to a different career, entirely different from tech. I wasn't sure if I really wanted to do the tech thing. But after my BSc, I got a job. I think that job was kind of a turning point for me when I look at it in retrospect, in the sense that it made me realize that I really want to do this tech thing in detail, you know, like I totally let go of the career path I was choosing. I was pursuing during my master's, of course, I was studying computer science, but I was trying to transition into finance, you know, and I was really in depth in that. And but that job kind of changed my trajectory, and I'm glad it did. So I worked for like a couple of years as a software developer and application support personnel, which was good while it lasted. But at a point, I don't know, you kind of feel like you want something more.
Right.
I didn't feel like I I wanted to continue in that path at that moment, right? And around like my third year, I'd already made up my mind to, okay, I was gonna do a master's in tech, but then I had certain challenges in the sense that it was either I was getting admission with no funding. And so it was kind of depressing at a point because I knew this is what I wanted to do. And why exactly did I think I wanted to go to grad school? Because I wanted to improve on my knowledge. I wanted to not just be a software developer, right? And at that time, I don't know if that was when the old buzz of data science and applied machine learning came up online, but I found myself being, what I say, carried away with that buzz. And I got kind of really interested. And, you know, I would read stuff about things people are doing in this field. And I felt like if I really wanted to, you know, do something in this particular line, which is entirely different from what I'm doing as in my current job, at my current job as at then, I would need to quit to get a master's degree, because to be honest, my job was quite hectic, and trying to, you know, learn the ropes while working was not feasible for me. I mean, some people could do it, but I wasn't able to do that because I was in an hectic role. I had an hectic role and I didn't even have time for myself, not to talk of, you know, trying to learn something by the side. So I knew the best option for me then was to, if I really want to take this seriously, I needed to quit and, you know, just pursue a master's full time. And I'm glad I did. Does that answer yeah, I think it does. Okay. Yes, next question.
The answers is very, very sufficiently. Thank you. All right. Thank you again, Dolapo, for sharing that. I think for me it was a bit different because I knew that I always wanted to do the line of academics. So and I knew that, you know, to be a lecturer, you needed to go on to study at more advanced levels, you know, do research and that kind of thing. So I've always wanted to be like, well, not always, because, you know, you guys already know my story of, you know, doctor, soldier, model, and all those other things I wanted to be. But like when I started to kind of have sense and knew what I wanted to do, I wanted to do like academic research and, you know, education and all. But then I didn't want to do it immediately after school because I wasn't certain what I wanted to teach. So I don't want to teach, but what do I want to teach, you know? So yeah, that's essentially what motivated me to do grad school. I worked for a couple of years, actually for a few years. And then after that, I went on to apply and then I came to see him. Alrighty, so next question would be, from UNILAG to CMU, I mean, what do you think UNILAG prepared you for this? Do you think maybe the coursework, maybe the hustle, maybe the tough skin. Do you think any bit of UNILAG prepared you for this? Yeah, Dolapo, you can go on.
So although the distance in terms of years between when I got my first degree and when I started my master's was like 4 years, I think. Correct me if I'm wrong. So, I mean, there was this gap, educational gap in terms of, you know, being in school and all that, but I wouldn't say it really affected me that much because when I look back, I think I was able to blend in, and I'm not sure if I would have been able to blend in that well, if not for the kind of background I had from UNILAG, you know.
Right. And when you say blending, even though it was, like academically or?
Yeah, academically, you know, right. Like transitioning from a workplace. I mean, the whole scenario in a workplace is way different from when you're schooling full time, mm-hmm. right? It's yeah. a different dynamics. But I think my background coming from, you know, my first year in UNILAG and then transitioning to working, the combination of those two kind of, you know, made me more prepared for this in the sense that the whole academic stress and struggle from UNILAG, although UNILAG, it's a different ballgame, right? We didn't have things to make your life easy, like, you know, teaching assistants, you know, being able to walk up to a professor any time of the day just to ask for clarification, right?
Right.
But that rigor, that academic rigor in a BSc program I went through in UNILAG made me get prepared for a similar academic rigor in a master's degree. And for my workplace as well, it's the old, you know, deadline. I mean, if you work as a software developer, you're really familiar with the whole deadline, you know, your clients are with
pressure
you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, exactly, the pressure, right? So having being able to have gone through that successfully, it was like it's already a part of me, the whole determination and knowing that no matter how hard it is, I'm gonna get it done because I've got like I was able to get it done back in the past, kind of you know, prepared me, would I say, prepared me for this CMU journey. But I wouldn't say I did any extra, you know, I had to like sit down and say, oh, okay, what's my preparation plan? No, I didn't have the time to do all that because it was like I was basically transitioning from a workplace. I had just a couple of weeks before I traveled from a grad school. So it wasn't like there was a time for me to sit down, you know, think, oh, what's my preparation plan and all that. No, I just think these things are like background. You don't know you're imbibing these skills or these things that make a part of you during like through your life before you actually get a particular space. It's when you're in that space, you then realize that all these things I went through actually prepared me for this moment without actually realizing at that time that they were preparing me for this, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
All righty. Thank you, Dolapo, for sharing that. I can relate to the rigor, although, like I said, both of you are like my seniors in school. So,
Really?
I did rigor, but it was not too deep, like people zone. So I don't know. But yeah, I could definitely relate to like the academic rigor. Definitely prefer. I mean, there were certain things that I feel like it did not really shake me a lot because not like things that some people may have struggled with at CMU, but I mean it didn't shake us. It's not today that we were sleeping in school, like trying to meet one crazy deadline. At the end of the day, we still do it. So all those pressure, shaking, trying to kill yourself, I don't really do that part because again, like, I already had experience in that. Anyway, so Jabbar, please tell us, from UNILAG to CMU, what do you think prepared you? What part of UNILAG prepared you for the journey?
Okay, so not one thing in particular. Yeah, if I may even say, I don't, the only parallel or the only commonplace between UNILAG and the CMU is, I would say, personally or to an extent, is the fact that they are both educational institutions.
Right.
It's kind of different. First, UNILAG is our typical educational system in Nigeria, while CMU is a different ball game entirely. It's an American school, first and foremost. So the system is different. The manner of approach is different. The responsibility on you as a student is different. So nothing had prepared me for that kind of change in terms of educational system at all. But beyond that, many of the skills necessary to thrive as a student at CMU, I would definitely attribute it to my undergrad days at UNILAG, because being a CS major and going into an engineering program, that background, that software engineering, that computer science, that core computer science background was very invaluable, but still is still very invaluable to life as an engineering graduate student here. So I'll definitely give that to UNILAG. But then having left school, like Aisha mentioned, there was like a 4-year gap between school and between finishing my undergrad and going back to school for masters. So it was like, who is this old cargo going back to school? That's what it felt like at the time. Because trust me, also don't enter boys' head. We're working already. We're thinking about making money.
Yeah, and stuff. That transition but then, wasn't easy at all.
Yeah, it wasn't the easiest. And yeah, we're working as software engineers, still applying many of the things that we had learned. So that was the transferable skills from the workplace actually played a lot. It came to the fore a lot more to live life as a graduate student. Like beyond your technical skills, a lot of your situational awareness, how to deal with scenarios, how to lobby around people, like, okay, well, not lobby around, don't let me use that.
I get what you mean.
But essentially, like, knowing your way around people. So it's not just, I know this thing. How do you deal with people?
Yeah, relationships.
How do you deal with, exactly, thank you, relationships. So that came to the fore a lot. And trust me, I'm highlighting this because we came, we saw, and we see, I saw, basically. And trust me, we saw things, and we just have to be grateful for the kind of background that we have had.
Yeah.
So yeah, all of that, everything just came together and worked well. It wasn't the perfect mix as to, I'm perfectly ready for this. I mean, you get thrown a bus and you remember that, I have an equal and opposite bus somewhere for this thing now. So,
oh dear.
That's the way it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can relate to, honestly, like before, I used to think, like when I first left Unilag, I used to think like, what have I just suffered through these five years, you know? I didn't really think that there was so much that Unilag had, I don't know, done for me or impacted in me that would be useful later on. But I think, like you said, that course years background, you know, the fact that, you know, even if it's la cram la pole, you still remember, you know, a bit of the CS discipline that was instilled. And then talk about like the fighting spirit. I mean, I don't know, but like for me, it was something that it's not just even like in CME, it's something that me have been able to carry through life. Like, you know, they give you one bars, maybe you get one grade. It's not today. We've been seeing equivalent goals and even worse goals, you know, in the past. So it's okay. We're going to survive it. Yeah, so I think the hustle spirit and definitely, you know, the academic background. And I would also say the network, you know, network of people. I knew like, I don't know, certain professors that I could reach out to if I wanted like references, or even like, you know, Unilag people like in the same department that had gone ahead, like, and Kesha was in the set before us. So like all these people kind of provided, you know, some manner of soft landing. Anyways, before I talk plenty, so yeah, let me just move on. Alrighty, so moving on to the next thing, but before we move on to like to talk about like best moments and worst moments that you had, I just wanted to ask, you know, a follow-up question on the last question. were there any times where you felt like going to Unilag was a disadvantage? Because like I know Jabba spoke about the change in the educational system. For me, I think that I should start and then I'll hear from you guys. I think I struggled a little bit with understanding that, you know, my lecturers are not out for my head, you know? They're not really out to get me. They're friends, they're, you know, just normal people like working in their office.
Okay, yes.
it was a big culture shock. Nah, they're not looking for my... my village, you know. It was a big culture shock for me to realize that, oh, I mean, I could walk into my lecturer's office and ask whatever, and the professor will be willing to answer. You know, they will ask you to come back, they will even give you chocolate and stuff like that. But I mean, there was that, and then there was also coming to terms with, I think in like A started from 70 or 75.
Hey.
It shocked me. it was really quite a shock when I just said that, I think I found out like what, a week into orientation. That's why I just knew that, yes, I've come to die. Like, what? A starts from what, 93 or 94? 93. Yeah.
Anything below that.
Oh, okay. Mm.
Then anything below 90, imagine. Like, I don't think I ever smelled 75 in Unilag. So yeah, there was that as well. But anyways, my major question is, do you think, you know, going to Unilag, I don't know, set you back, you know, or was it disadvantage in any form or shape?
If I can go first, I wouldn't say it was a disadvantage in any form. What I would say was that Unilag is a Nigerian school, is a Nigerian school. So definitely there was a bit of difference, cultural difference in studying the Nigerian system and then American system, right? And some of those things were what you've mentioned, right? So there's this thing about, in Unilag, one, we didn't have teaching assistant. This was my first time of having an experience of a teaching assistant. What was teaching assistant? I mean, mm-hmm. you go up to class, you listen to your lecture, yeah. you jot your yeah. note, and you go read on your own, right? Mm-hmm. But coming here, I had to get used to the fact that the teaching assistants are actually paid to serve us, right? So that was like a kind of transition I had to go through, knowing that I can easily go up to them. It's not like, oh, they'll feel like I'm disturbing them, because no, it's a job, it's their job. So they are there to actually, you know, help me succeed, right? Mm-hmm. Another thing was, so there's this thing, there was an incident that happened in CMU Africa. And I had this professor, he was going to his lab with some equipment, and I was at the front desk, and I wasn't sure how to react, because you know, like, I didn't have to think twice. I just need to get up, go help the person carry whatever. I mean, it's yeah. rude for you to see your professor carrying something and just carrying his lab equipment, and you just walk past, or you just see. So my brain was just exactly. So my first instinct, I had already stood up to go, like, you know, grab the carton of, he had a carton of tools. I can't remember what were in it. Like, but then I had to stop him, because this is a white man. They don't do that here, right? Mm-hmm. So I stood, and it was like, I was in limbo. I was standing and sitting, and I was like, sorry, do you need help with that? I was like, oh, no, Aisha, it's fine. And I kind of felt awkward, because I was already sprinting over. It's not like eye service. I won't call it eye service. It was just something that I'm used to, you know. You see an old person carrying, so we go meet him and carry. So I'd already sprinted. I'm so sure he would have looked at me that day. I'm like, why is this one, you know, standing, sitting, trying to run? And so that's one of the cultural differences I had to get used to, that. I mean, this is a different setting, right? And your professors are there to help you. It's like you're 100% in control of your success. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not trying to say that, because I mean, I've heard of people who had bad experiences in Nigerian universities, whereby, you know, some professors have to do an exchange for you to get good grades and all. And which is saddening when you think about it. You don't have to go through it before you actually relate to it, fine.
Yeah.
And but in an American system, in the school I went to, there's, you know, that whatever you wrote for your exam, whatever you have written down is what you're going to get as your results. There's no external forces. Yeah. There's nothing, you know, influencing your grades or anything. Just ensure you do what's the right thing. And one other thing, the last thing, I can contest my grade, right? So there's this course I took last semester where there's a period where you can, you know, raise concerns if you're concerned about the fact that, oh, you're not graded correctly, or you got these, because there's a grading scheme released after your grades are released, right? So you can see the rubric and you would see, oh, they marked me wrong, or did they? So it's like everything is open.
Very transparent.
You know that whatever, exactly, that's the word, very transparent. So whatever you get in your transcript is what you put there. There's nothing like, oh, your script is missing, like some people have experienced in the past and all that. And I think this kind of, having a different, like I used to say this to my friend, I would advise everyone who had studied in a Nigerian educational system to actually experience more advanced, a different country. It kind of changes your perspective. You tend to see what is supposed to be the standard,
right?
And not just accept what is, you know, fine, we can't change certain things in the Nigerian system right now. There's certain things that are beyond our control, and hopefully things will change over time. But it gives you it kind of broadens your horizon as to what is being gotten or what's being done in an advanced educational system. And you tend to know that, oh, this is the standard, this is how it's supposed to be. Because I've not experienced, it doesn't mean that what I was experiencing before was the standard. Yeah. If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
So just to round up with your initial question, UNILAG wasn't, I don't regret going to UNILAG. I mean, it was what was available for me at that point in time when I was, how old was I, 16, 15, I can't remember. But I'm glad, I mean, it did more good than to me.
Yeah.
And without UNILAG, I wouldn't be here. I mean, you have to have a BS before you go for a master's anyway. So I think UNILAG prepared we had good lectures. I wouldn't even deny that, because I remember having to reach out to Dr. lecturers. Dr. Saya, Dr. Victor, like people I had to reach out to, and you know, they kind of advised me and guided me on my next step, helped me with reference letter and also. I wouldn't want to deny and say, oh, I got here all by myself without, you know, UNILAG and the good professors who had, you know, encouraged me along the way. Yes. So I think that answers your question.
All righty. There's a plane going past my house now, and I've stopped this recording many times, so I'm going to try to not stop it this time. So Jabba, please go ahead as well. Go ahead and share about your experience. Do you think Unilag, I don't know, stressed or was a disadvantage at any point?
No. So I would also bounce off direct answer to that. It wasn't a disadvantage. It just helped you appreciate the, like she said, helps you appreciate that there's better somewhere. Yeah. So you're used to one standard.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that a better one is phantom.
Yeah.
And just don't stay boxed. I'm going to bounce off something that she said, and I know you guys remember because we took this course together, that's cognitive system.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I remember that after every course we had, I was always looking forward to great changes. And you thought this was the answer. You thought this was the answer. Me, I thought this was the answer. Let's talk about it.
Exactly.
And we'll talk about it. Beautiful. We'll have a good conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And over the weekend, I just see that, okay, my grade has gone up. Thank God I will not get zero this time. You get it. But then I remember when I did one course in 200 level that I'm not going to name names for.
If it's okay. You know. Get it. We know.
So it was one of those general courses in the faculty. Yeah. And I had an E. And I was so worried about it.
I know already. It's okay.
I cannot confirm or deny whatever you people know. And I know that I was considered to be, was it ungrateful or... I'm not sure how serious, basically, because how dare me even complain
when everybody got F?
About getting an E when everybody got F. And those that thought they were brave enough to go and ask, we know some of them took those courses, like it was a perpetual course for them every year. So it's just a stark contrast. And that's just one aspect.
Mm-hmm.
But then I wouldn't also take away from Unilag because from, was it 300 level or some part of 200 level,
yeah,
when I started taking just departmental courses.
Yeah, it was
so in as much as the Unilag story is largely like what I had highlighted earlier, mm-hmm, I think the computer science lecturers were actually ahead of their time.
Yeah.
If I must. So shout out to Dr. Victor Shenaike. I was even on a call with Dr. Shenaike some days ago.
Oh.
Okonye. I mean, Olade. These guys were... Dr. Oladeji, then Professor Wadia, even though we didn't see too much of him, but when we were taking his course, it wasn't like your typical class.
Yeah.
Like,
yes,
we're having conversations, we're having discussions, very mature ones. They didn't treat us like write your notes, do your homework,
yeah,
collect your grade, and that's it now. So yeah, there were some similarities in that regard. So yes, the computer science department actually started to make me feel very comfortable. So it wasn't too awkward that I could walk up to lecturers in this new place and actually have conversations beyond just your studies.
Mm-hmm.
Like you could talk about life, you could talk about other ideas. You have an instructor that is not even taking any course that you're offering, but you can walk up to them,
yeah,
have conversations. They'll lend you books based on your interests and ideas and stuff like that. So shout out to those good people that have made us see these things.
Essentially,
you wouldn't appreciate these things if you didn't go through where you're coming from. And
yep,
some of the experiences just help shape you to,
yeah,
appreciate and take these ones even better. So yeah, everything worked hand in hand, all well together.
Yeah. That's amazing. I think, you know, to wrap up what all of you guys have said, I don't think that Unilag, you know, me, I'm a firm believer in the fact that even when things don't work out right, there's a way, you know, that things can just align for you despite all of that. And like Jabba said, me, I feel like I'm a product of like really amazing teachers. When I mean amazing teachers, I knew when like I started working with Dr. Fash, even though so many people they don't like him like that, but he's a great teacher. And like I know how that he helped me so much build my confidence in terms of like programming you know, like I could walk into his office anytime, and you know, he would plug the projector to my computer and would you know, view stuff on the screen. So like Jabba said, I think when we started with departmental courses, it kind of made a difference, and of course all those interactions also made a difference. However, I don't know whether we're all trying to sound politically correct, but there's a bit of healing that I feel like, you know, has impact, I wouldn't say as disadvantaged me, but has stressed me. So for instance, a case of transcripts, trying to get a transcript, it's been like 2 years now. I don't know, maybe you love it, mommy. I don't love it. I think that there's a lot of things
that have problem now. Everybody has
problem. Talk about the problem. Me, I'm like, maybe no, it not touch you like that.
You know, I'm not giving up. I thought we're just talking about the academic part of it. Every other part, they are stressing me. Can you imagine after how many years you know that still stressing me?
Like,
let's reason I'm now.
That's the prayer on my lips now. You need like, let my people go. So I know that, I mean, there's amazing people within the system, but the system itself can do so much better. You don't know, maybe the VC will be listening to this. So, dear Mr. VC, sir. My lord, sir.
Yeah, that's true.
If I may.
Like Mr. VC did birthday, bear yesterday or day before. Happy birthday in advance. Help us with our transcript. Thanks, sir.
He's in Arias.
Happy in Arias.
Thank you, sir. Happy birthday in Arias, sir. But if you can, if we may, please help us to touch it. Help us to change the situation of things. Alrighty, so moving on to the other fun bits. So what were the best and worst parts? Okay, before we move on to that part, alrighty, so the next question is, what were your best and worst moments, or your highs and lows, favorite and least favorite things about your CMA experience? You can go in any fashion. Tayo, do you want to stop?
Okay, let Tayo go first. No, let
Tayo go. I stop calling.
So for me, maybe I should start with my lows. Then it probably make the best moments make sense. So personally, I started this journey without a scholarship, right? And for the longest part, I didn't have a scholarship. But the lowest point was the beginning of the second semester, that was the spring semester,
yeah.
When I had not cleared the balance from the previous semester and I couldn't register for courses for that semester. Part of the options that I considered was actually deferring that semester to go work and then come back. But then the best people turned up. Like some people really turned up, and that was really, really huge. Like turned up in ways I couldn't imagine. Ozzy knows this. So yeah, that was a very low point because the semester had literally started and I was yet to be registered. And there was a case of someone not entirely budging. So I had an assignment that was due.
Yeah.
And we literally had to speed up the reflection of the payments that I made before I could actually turn in the assignment. So that was a very, very low point. Yeah, but then the best moment.
The point where you became a tech bro. Tell us.
Yeah, but I'd say the best moment is finishing, or like getting a job before finishing my program. It was amazing. It was amazing.
Whoa.
Calm down. Like, it was a good feeling, and I think it kind of spills over into the next question you have for us, which is, was it worth it? It made everything, every decision, every experience, every stress, every long night, every long time I had with myself.
That's where I stand up at club, bro.
Yeah, so that was the best moment. And it wasn't just one. I had my peak. So that was multiple offers that came in. So
for sure. You're good.
So Shemba soap is not a new.
It's liquid wash.
Good one soon.
I'm using the same doodle. So, anyways, that's amazing. I think like that's the beauty of it. Like what you just said last is the fact that at the end, when like the things that you were hoping for eventually come through, it just makes sense. Like all of a sudden, it makes sense. All the struggles, all the stress, you're just like, man, it was worth it. But anyways, let me not go ahead of myself. Ms. Delapo, please, do you mind sharing?
Oh my God, you're ruining my name.
Sorry.
Yeah, so, worst moment. I'm trying so hard to think of my worst moment. Oh, I think my worst moment would be summer, when we're looking for summer internship 2020. It was really, I kept feeling like, what exactly am I doing wrong? Because I was just getting rejections up. There was one I even applied in the morning. I think before I got the rejection. And I wouldn't lie, I actually cried that night, because you know when sometimes you're being strong, okay, rejection, okay, fine, I'm still gonna get something. And then one little thing would just tip you off and you're like, you know what? I'm tired. Like, what exactly, not even one single offer, what exactly is going on? I mean, that period was, I mean, I'm used to rejections right from when I was looking for admission and all funding and all that. So having to go through that whole rejection phase was, and because there was this, you had to get an internship before a particular date or something. Well, I'm glad something came up. Yeah. I mean, eventually, even though they were both CME offers, I had to pick one. But I mean, the ones I really, really wanted,
yeah,
I kept getting rejected, and I was like, I was doing the right now, doing technical tests. I will probably get interviewed. Maybe they won't come. I don't know if pandemic was part of it, but that was part of the, you know, worst run. I mean, I'm glad for people I had who made the whole process seem like, oh, I'm not that dumb. It's not like I'm dumb. Something's just happened. Not that I don't know that, but sometimes you tend to forget and you're like, am I even good enough? Am I even qualified for these roles and all that? I think that would be my worst moment. And my best moment would be, I think it would be my research project journey. Because I remember when I decided, before coming to CME, I wasn't sure if I wanted to do research. I wasn't sure if I wanted to do a PhD because that was why I wasn't applying for a straight PhD. I wanted a master's. I wanted to discover and see, is this what I really want? So in the middle of the, you know, MSc, I realized, okay, fine. I've found the niche I was really, really interested in, which is actually rare, because I used to find out things about myself at that moment, not like, oh, when I was 5 and yeah, I wanted to do this now. I never used to have a clue like way beforehand. So I knew, okay, this is the niche I wanted to do. And I knew I wanted to do research. Getting a supervisor was a different ball game. I almost did not get a supervisor, which I eventually did at the last minute after the deadline, I got one. And then there was this period where my project wasn't going as smooth as I wanted it to go. And there was a time I was given a deadline to submit the first draft of my thesis. And at that point, I think I had just 2 chapters out of 5 chapters. And I wasn't even done with all the experiment. And I had like a couple of, was it a week or two? And those are like the longest. Fine, I had like some mini experiments I was doing, like, but not something concrete enough to turn into a thesis at that point. I was still like scattered thought all over. And those couple of days were like the longest of my life, because I was basically sleeping, like not sleeping. I'll sleep for like a few hours, wake up, I'm at my desk morning to night. I wasn't eating well, whatever I had on the table is what I ate. It was actually the toughest period of my, you know, CME journey. And why is it the best moment? Because I was glad it turned out well, because at the point I began to doubt if I would even have a thesis before the deadline. I doubted if I would even be ready before the presentation. I doubted everything doubtable about the whole thing. But the fact that I was able to present, I still had exams, but my mind wasn't even the exam. I had to just present something. Minutes before my presentation, I was still editing slide. I was still, you know, going through my thesis, because I wasn't like 100% done. So, but then I had to put up the front like, oh, I've done this work. It's complete 100%. Do you get? And the fact that I was able to complete it, and although I had like a couple of corrections from my committee, but I was able to, you know, get it good at the end of it. It just made me feel like, no matter how difficult things might seem at the beginning, somehow it eventually ends up working out, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, even if it seems like it's insurmountable, this challenge is so big. Because there were days I'll be like, man, will I finish? I'm checking. I marked the date. This is the deadline. I still have like how many chapters to go. I was basically you know, living life, writing, coding, you know, reporting results, even though I wasn't even sure if I would, you know, meet the deadline. But the fact that I was able to do that and I was graded well and I graduated eventually. I mean, if I did not complete it, I was going to go to units. So, I mean, that period, it was just like a week or two, but it was like the longest period of my CMU journey. And it was the best because it taught me something about myself and how resilient I can be. Yeah.
So,
I'm
okay. Wow, nice. My own worst moments were, a couple. That's the thing. I don't think mine was. Do you guys remember that graph that Professor Bisi was drawing? Where it was like,
Yeah,
at that point, right? I was already on a low. To hear that, oh, chill, you still get lower, was very devastating for me. But it was good that I was coming to terms with reality that it was going to be a very tough journey.
That graph supposed to scare us? Now that I think about it, because I've almost forgotten about that graph.
I think the whole point was to, just get us to come to the fact here that, it's still going to get tougher before it then gets better, you know? And that's exactly what happened. For me, I think one of my lowest was when I was ill, thanks to Dolapo, thanks to Jabba, you guys. Dolapo slept with me in the hospital for how many days? Almost a week.
I meant that I was going to say this to God.
Yeah, because it's something I'm forever grateful for, yeah. So it was a low. I remember that. What is that? I remember that some of the staff at school and scholarship,
were
just take a break. Let's register as a part-time student. I was like, man, on top of the 2 years, when will I marry? When will I born?
I'm PhD still there.
Yeah, waiting for somebody. God, your job, please. God is going to see us through and God did. I'm so happy that. So that was a low. Another low was, it was an overflow of the first low when I got back to school and then I had to catch up. Man, it was crazy. Like, nobody was going to say, hey, yeah, sorry about that. So let's move on to assignments. I had to do everything. Yes, the deadlines were extended. But then I realized that the more time I spent trying to catch up, the more they are waiting for me. Do you get? So it was a low. Another low was when I lost student elections. It wasn't low, but
that period was mad.
It was such a big, and I was shocked, on top of my propaganda, on top of my English. Life is weekend. But I think it was also good for me to come to terms with the fact that sometimes we win and sometimes we actually lose. And it's okay. It's all part of the journey. Which other load did I have? My research. My research was like, I don't even know what to call it because it was like, But then the flip side of it, the best bit were, when I finished that first semester and I actually did not fail any course. You know, at that point, I wasn't worried about anybody's A. I did not send anybody's daddy. I just wanted to finish in peace, and I was very grateful that all those things came through. My research excitement, my research presentation, even though at the end of the day, the lab models, the feedback was like this paper, Opa! But on that day, it was very painful because we have already gone to buy slices and cakes. Eloni, with almost a quarter of my rent.
What is that chocolate cake you told me?
I've got to buy chocolate cake with almost a quarter of my rent, monthly rent, So at the end of the cake, to hear that the feedback was still full, like newspaper was painful, but I guess it's all part of the process as well. And then my other best moment was when I got my offer, like Jabba said, I saw it. I think I first sat on the floor in my room. I was like, and then I started to calculate and I was like, it just made sense. Like, it just made everything worth it, And so we're almost done. We have two more questions and then we hope that we can quickly wrap it up. So was it worth it? Do you think you're better off than when you started? For me, yes, definitely. Not just in terms of before I knew Python, now I know R and Streamlit. No, it's like it was an entire transformational journey for me, which I didn't think I saw coming, in terms of character, in terms of coming to terms with myself, and in terms of understanding the fact that, yeah, what they used to call it, South Africa's top 5%, but then there's so many other top 5%. So very likely at any given time, you're not the smartest person in the room. So calm down, you know? So it helped me to calm down.
That is what we're talking about.
It helped me to calm down. Not my fault. It helped me to calm down a lot. And then it also helped me to, like Dolapo said, build some certain level of resilience. Aeroplane is flying again. Oh my gosh.
I don't think it's that loud.
Whatever you do, guys, please don't leave me at an airport. Anyways, so, yeah. Hopefully I'm able to edit it and I will not be too lazy to leave it in. Yeah, so yeah, that's it. Yeah, it was worth it. Emphatic yes. All the stress, all the sleepless nights, all the tears, all the water, everything, it was definitely worth it. So I think Jabba's already answered that. Ansi, do you think it was worth it?
Don't make me feel older than I already am.
Sorry about
So yeah, like I would say it was really worth it. Personally, not just about the whole academic things you learn, the whole technical things, new things. You know, definitely I learned new things. I explored new things. I'd never, you know, would have probably explored or probably learned if I was, you know, back where I was. And I think it's worth it in the sense that it kind of showed me my next phase. Like I said earlier, I'm not like one of those, I usually know what I want to do 5 years before, right? Oh. So it's usually, oh, I'm at this stage, what do I want to do next year? It's when that thing happens, I tend to have like an insight of what I want to do next. And coming to CMU, I had a reason for coming to CMU, and I wanted to be sure about what my next step was. Either I come to CMU, get my master's, you know, graduate, get a job and get an MBA. I just knew I'm still going to go back to school even after the master's. So it was either an MBA or a PhD, but I wasn't sure which, right? So, and I wanted to be sure I really wanted to do research, not just, you know, 4 years, 5 years is not binge for me to spend doing PhD without actually liking what I'm going to do and knowing where I want to do the research in. Mm-hmm. And CMU actually opened my eyes. I don't know if it's directly or indirectly, but if I wasn't here, I'm not sure I would have known what I wanted to do. And I'm not sure I would be starting the next phase which I would be starting. And that was where I said it was worth it for me personally. It built me. It taught me things I didn't know before. And it kind of prepared me for what my next phase would be, opened my eyes to what I want to do next. And it kind of opened like certain interest in me. I wasn't sure I was embedded somewhere. Yeah.
All right, Professor, we appreciate you. Thank you very much.
Seriously?
No. I'm just banting. Maybe a little sense.
That is right.
All right, so last question or parting words. You guys know that both of you are shining stars. Again, they told you that Africa's top 5%. We're really happy to have, I feel so privileged. I'm going to call it. It's huge for me. It's really huge. I mean, I didn't know. Okay, so do you have any other words for, someone who's like, yo, Aisha, I want to be like you when I grow up, but I'm in 200 level, I'm physics, mathematics department is killing me with real analysis and all those nonsense. How shall I make it? You know, it's crazy that all those things I don't know if it even matters. I've never done anything that had to do with that. Really, she real analysis, me, I'm really mathematics.
Real analysis.
All right. I'm not totally forgotten. Anyway, so parting words for anybody I've got admission, I don't have scholarship, should I come? Is it worth it? Just anything, just, you know, last words from your heart, very briefly, please. Thank you so much.
So, if I said I had a formula or some set of advice to give anyone, I don't think that would be true because I'm largely a go with the flow kind of person.
Yeah.
But I go with the flow with the end goal in mind. So essentially, whatever journey that you find yourself on, try and enjoy yourself. Probably not the finish. Try and enjoy, but with the end goal in mind. So that said, if you wanted to embark on this kind of journey, I feel like knowing the why you're embarking on it, that's what is going to keep you grounded the most. You're going to be tried, you're going to be tested. It will never be easy, but knowing why is going to keep you at it. So notice that I'm not saying this is what you do when you encounter this. I don't know, your situation might be very different from mine.
Yeah.
But just having the reason why you're doing this at the back of your mind is going to help you keep forward, help you do what you need to do to get there. My only extra addition is be easy on yourself. Take it easy. Enjoy the flow. So while you're at it, don't just be focused on the end goal. There's this thing that is called destination addiction, and it's a problem. It's where you think that you only find happiness or fulfillment at the next point or at your destination. So it robs you of actually enjoying the now, because you feel like what you're looking for is somewhere else. Meanwhile, you could start enjoying it from here. So don't get trapped in destination addiction. Try and live in the moment as well. Enjoy yourself. Play. You have an assignment due. You're not feeling up for it. Yeah, it's fine. You can sleep small. You can watch Netflix. But know that you have to finish it still, just to help you get there. And that's all I can say. Enjoy. Chill. Oh, on a secret.
Sweet fishy girl. Thank you.
No, thanks, Jabba. That actually made a lot of sense. I mean, it was supposed to be for those who want to follow this part, but I actually picked one or two things from myself as well.
Merci.
So what I would say is, just like what Jabra said regarding the last thing you said about not being too hard on yourself, some things just don't work out, not because you're not good enough, not because you didn't put your best, but just because they were just not meant for you at that moment. I've had my share experience of certain things not working out, and I've, you know, made a mistake of blaming myself or thinking, was I, you know, expecting too much for applying for something that, just an example, applying for something that probably way above my league. Do you get? Sometimes it may not just be about your own intellect. It might just be like, oh, it's one position and you're like five people who are the best. They just have to pick one person. They have to let four people go no matter what. And you could have been the one pick, you could have been the one to let go. That doesn't mean you're not good enough for that position, right? So don't be too hard on yourself. And whatever you do, just give it your best. I mean, don't think that, if you're doing something, you really want to do that thing, just give it the best, and whatever happens, happens. You know at the back of your mind that, yeah, you did the best that you could. And whatever happens, you know, it wasn't your fault, if that makes sense. And one other thing I would say is, you might be in your 1 year, 2 year, you're not sure what you want to do. Fine, you know you want to go for grad school, but you're not sure what course you want to do. It's fine. It's fine not to know what course you want to study as a year two. As I was year two, I wasn't sure I was going to be here, to be honest. And sometimes you learn things as you go on, right? This still boils down to the fact that don't be too hard on yourself. You learn things as you go on, and tend to be observant about what interests you, because that would actually help you in navigating your future role, your future career. Try to be observant of what are the things that pique your interest. You don't have to do something because other people are doing it. Know exactly why you're doing it, right? And the thing is, for example, not everybody would, you know, succumb to quitting a job, especially if you're probably earning well, to going to grad school. Someone will be like, why don't you just, you know, fine, you want to leave the country, you can as well keep on working at your job and then, you know, apply for express entry, which some people will do, yeah. Which is a fine path. But when you know within yourself that you really want to go to grad school because you want to learn something, because you probably want to end up doing a PhD, because you want to, you know, transition to a different field, don't let the buzz of whatever is going on around cloud your own personal judgment. Know why you're doing something and follow your journey. That doesn't mean you shouldn't seek advice from people who have gone through that path, right? Yeah. You seek advice, but at the end of the day, people would give you advice based on their own experience, but tend to, you know, filter the advice and pick the one that actually applies to you and applies to what you really want to do in your life. You know, don't let the buzz influence your decisions. That's just a summary of what I want to say. And whatever you do, just give it your best. And one last thing, which I learned, you know, later on was so there are certain things I would see and I'll be like, no, I can't apply for this, I'm not qualified enough. And that's actually me looking down myself now that I'm looking at it in retrospect. Like, what's the worst that can happen, right? Apply, give it your best application, and if they tell you no, but then the best thing that could happen is they could tell you yes, right? So don't say no to yourself before they say no to you, if that makes sense, right? Put yourself out there, give it your shot, and don't limit yourself. I said a lot of stuff. I just okay, pick out one thing that applies.
It's because it's plenty. It's because it's plenty. If they give you, you don't know, it's fine.
Wow,
yeah.
I've learned so much. Like, thanks, guys, for sharing. I think you guys have said everything. Like, you people looked at what I was going to say, but I think that one other thing that I would say is just to retweet what Tayo said. Know your why. I think that during CMU, I kind of felt myself, I used to think that peer pressure was a teenage thing, but in CMU, I saw it like life and direct, you know, like peer pressure, people are doing machine learning, deep learning. Why am I doing it? Like, if it's not like what brought me to CMU, why am I indulging in all those things, you know? And I think it's, if you don't know your why, not just for grad school, but throughout life, you just keep on living out other people's dreams. So many times I had to remind myself, like, even when I was trying to apply for like further studies, I remember that I spoke to a few people and I said, oh, I want to do more business and management than computer science. And they're like, from where to where are you going, where are you coming from? But it was something that I saw myself doing. I've seen myself doing for a very long time, you know, being in the intersection between tech and business for a very long time, that I think at some point I forgot. So try and know your why are you doing what you're doing, and solely pursue your dream, even if it's only you running. Pursue it, like, don't allow peer pressure get to you. And the second thing I would say before we round up is, don't do it alone. Like, I always joke with like some of my friends or like senior colleagues. I remember I was teasing, you guys remember that meeting that we had with Kimelu the first time or second time? I think I was even writing. Now looking back, it's like, auntie, where's the problem? But every step of the way, like literally every step of the way, even not just in grad school, even like now, I always look for someone who is doing what I want to do and attach myself to that person. Preferably someone that looks like me, like a Black woman. So I want to apply to a school. I'm not trying to be racist or anything. I'm just saying that representation matters. And when I do that, it helps my psyche to understand the fact that, oh, there's someone who looks like you in this position where you want to be. That means your dream is valid, right? So yes, know your why and seek out mentors along the way. Wow, this has been a very, very long. I did not think that it was going to be this long, but I really appreciate you guys. We're very honored. I can tell you all, and Dolapo, thank you so much for joining us on this podcast. Bye-bye, everybody. You people should say bye-bye.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having me. Maybe this is how I finally blew. Thank you. I remember you.
In the process of blowing already. You just, you know, you need to...
All right, guys. Thank you so much, everybody. Please leave your feedback if you have any feedback for us anywhere you see this podcast. Yeah, bye-bye. Yes, bye.